Hello and welcome to the debate. I'm Marcia Hashemi. Each passing day, more Iraqi lives are being lost to bombing shootings as terrorists are targeting anyone from school children to officials. Since the beginning of April of this year, reportedly there have been more than 4,000 people killed in Iraq. What is the reason for the surge in violence and who benefits from it? Stay with us as the debate digs into these questions and others.
Iraq continues to bleed as it witnesses its deadliest violence in years, which seems to be unending. The immediate chaotic aftermath of a car bomb attack in the town of Nasiriyah in Dhekar province. Recent attacks in Iraq have left dozens of people dead in central and southern parts of the country. Bombings and shootings gripped Iraqi cities following the U.S.-led invasion of the country in 2003. But they abated towards the end of the U.S. military presence in Iraq and its final withdrawal in 2010. Attacks are now at their peaks again. During the U.S.-led occupation, the attacks were mainly directed at American and other foreign troops. But the motives for bomb blasts and other acts of terrorism are now vague. Officials have repeatedly blamed the violence ravaging the country on a regional state, Saudi Arabia. The latest accusation has been made by Iraq's former national security advisor, Mubaffaq al-Rubaii. He says Riyadh is the main state sponsor of armed terrorism in Iraq. Rubaii says all terrorist cells operating in Iraq come from Saudi Arabia and Yemen. He points his finger at the notorious Saudi intelligence chief, Bandar bin Sultan. Bandar's appointment to the post of security advisor in Saudi Arabia has escalated the situation. Rubaii also said more than 1,000 tribal chiefs have recently rejected the Saudi King Abdullah's invitation to a meeting in Riyadh, calling it interference in Iraq's internal affairs. But how does violence serve the Saudi monarchy's interests in the region? Some analysts believe that Riyadh hopes to weaken Iraq and prevent the Baghdad government from playing any role in the region. Baghdad is potentially capable of playing a leading regional role given its vast oil reserves and its strategic position. Observers also say the aim is to ignite an all-out sectarian strife in Iraq by pitting followers of different religions against each other. They are also suspicious about the silence of the U.S. and the EU over the rising wave of terror attacks and believe the violence may be serving Washington's interests in the region. Meanwhile, an Iraqi militant group known as Hezbollah Brigades has claimed in a photo report that CIA operatives are involved in the killings of Iraqis and support al-Qaeda elements in Iraq. The group has also revealed the names of some of the CIA officers. According to the UN figures, the surge in terrorist attacks has killed more than 4,000 people in Iraq since the start of April. But Iraqis insist they are united in the face of terrorism.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program out of Baghdad in Iraq, Mr. Ali Al-Nashmi, political commentator. And out of London, the UK, a journalist and political commentator, Mr. Richard Millett. Thank you both for being with us. Well, I'd like to start this off in London with Mr. Millett. We're witnessing a spike in violence in Iraq. Of course, after the U.S. invasion, we saw it in 2008, we saw it, and now again in 2013. There has been an amazing peak in terrorism. Why do you think that we're seeing this increase in insecurity right now in Iraq?
The increase in terrorism in Iraq could be down to many factors, but the main factor would possibly point to a spillover of what's happening in Syria. The factions in Syria are fighting each other, as we know, and there's been terrible attacks on the rebels, whatever you'd like to call them, in Syria, with many people murdered. So these could be revenge attacks. It looks as if there's a very good chance that they are revenge attacks. That's happening in Iraq, as we saw the same situation happening in Lebanon. There were attacks on Hezbollah, which is obviously a Shia outfit, and there's the same attacks predominantly are against Shia sites in Iraq at the moment. So that is possibly pointing, I mean, the idea that these are from America or CIA, there's obviously no proof, and there's I don't think there's much proof that it's really from Saudi Arabia. I think we've had one group, Al-Qaeda in Iraq, has claimed ownership of one of the attacks. But this seems to be, as also indicated in your report, just a response to what is happening in the region, specifically in Syria.
All right. What about that, Mr. Ali Al-Nashmi, that what Mr. Millett is saying, this is basically just a response to what we're seeing in Syria, and no proof that the Saudis or the Americans have anything to do with the violence in Iraq?
No, I think what's happening now in Iraq to connect with the with the Syrian crisis, because you know the violence in the crisis, and begin that violence since the American invasion in Iraq, and there is many groups and many wings and many countries, and many intelligence behind that violence. Who's the winner in the violence? Because you know the winner is different from year to year. In the beginning of the invasion, it's different than what's happening now. Maybe the American troops, they are suffering in the violence in the beginning of invasion, but now there is not American troops. I think something changed. But I think, and many visions and the many Iraqi people, they thought one of the main supporting to that violence is the group coming from the Gulf, or the politics of Gulf, especially Qatar and Saudi Arabia, because that countries, they don't want kind of sect ruling in Iraq. They want they want Sunni ruler in Iraq, because they have a dreamer. They have a sectarian dream. They have sectarian goals. In order that they want to change all the regimes or the government in the regions, they thought they are allied to Iran, because they planning to attack Iran by American, by many things they will make it. And now, the America went withdrew from Iraq in 2011, and they signed a pact with the Iraqi government in 2009, and they now they left Iraq, and they want to say to the Iraqi people, you must return to the American umbrella, they say. Because you left the American umbrella, you are suffering from violence. You must return to the American umbrella. Then they planning to return many troops to the Iraqs, and they want to build a bases in Iraq. They are dreaming that. I think now of that violence, or who behind, directly or indirectly, American intelligence, or by government in Gulf. Because you know, when the countries in the Gulf, they want the weakening the government in Iraq, because they want maybe to change the regime in Iraq. And America, they are dreaming to return Iraq in some kind of return some troops or bases. I think this is behind the violence now in Iraq.
Okay, well, let's get our Facebook viewers in and listen to some of their comments. Let's listen up. Okay, I guess we're going to switch back to that a little bit later. There's a little problem with that. We'll be looking at the Facebook. But let me just turn now to Mr. Al-Nashmi. With the situation in, I'm taking it to Mr. Millett. With the situation, you said that actually there's no proof that the Americans have anything to do with it, or that Saudi Arabia has anything to do with the situation in Saudi Arabia. But former U.S. Ambassador to Iran, Christopher Hill, has said that Saudi Arabia is the main source of violence in Iraq. What do you make of that statement?
You know, because no, American,
Mr. Millett, this is for London, please.
They have really, they are very...
Well, I mean, sorry. As you say, sorry. We don't sorry. Really know what's going...
Go ahead, sir. Mr. Millett?
We don't really know what's going on in the region. We don't even know who launched this chemical attack that we know about in Syria. We know that there was a chemical attack, for example, but there's now some debate as to who caused this chemical attack, whether it was Assad or whether it was done by the rebels against their own people. So if we don't even know that, how do we know who's behind these attacks in Iraq, unless we have certain direct evidence that it was Saudi Arabia?
I'm just asking your response according to a former American official, what the official is saying.
From the region, as we've seen over... Well, the official doesn't necessarily, or whoever said this, doesn't necessarily know either. Has he got any evidence? Has he put any evidence forward that it was Saudi Arabia? It could well have been Saudi Arabia, but we know that where Saudi Arabia is, Iran isn't necessarily far behind it. These two countries are fighting it out for dominance in the region, and this is what is, to a certain extent, causing these conflagrations in the region. That's not helping the situation in Syria. We've got Iran supporting one side in Syria, with Saudi Arabia to a certain extent supporting another side in Syria. And this is part of the Sunni-Shia divide. And you can't necessarily blame one country for what is going on in the region, where Al-Qaeda is a huge player for what is going on in the region. And Al-Qaeda is really causing a lot of the trouble, as we've seen in Syria. What was once a democratic uprising against the Assad regime has now been taken over by Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda was in Iraq soon after the Americans went in. Al-Qaeda is still in Iraq. And then the idea is that this is Al-Qaeda instigated.
All right, well, let me get Mr. Al-Nashmi in. I just want to get to your comment, Mr. Al-Nashmi. What Mr. Millett has said, when I quoted from a former ambassador in Iraq, Mr. Christopher Hill, saying that actually Saudi Arabia is responsible for the violence in Iraq. Your take, sir?
Yes, I think I told you, because no, there is not doubt Al-Qaeda is still working in Iraq. But Al-Qaeda, it's not one group in the world. There is many groups of violence. We can put it under the umbrella of Al-Qaeda. Sometimes they have a link and some notes, but they have just the same idea. They have the same goal. They're using the same planning. In order that we call that Al-Qaeda. Some of that that groups, they have a good relation with Saudi Arabia, and the goal, they use it sometimes, as now what they're using in Syria. Many violence groups, we can put it under the umbrella of Al-Qaeda. They're using and supporting it from Turkey. They're supporting it from Qatar, from Saudi Arabia. And some of them, they are working in Iraq. Then they support him by media. They support it by money, by weapon, by many things. And directly, Bandar bin Sultan, the Prince Bandar of Sultan, he is the leader of the Iraqi office Iraqi subject. In order that he declaring many times they must Saudi Arabia, they must play a wider role in Iraq.
Okay.
One of that play, last week, they invite the leader of tribes in the Sunni side of Iraq to the Al-Hajj, just the Sunni tribes to discuss with them about the Iraqi situation.
Okay. All right, well, stay with me, both of our guests, please. We're going to switch over now to those Facebook comments and see what some of our viewers have written to us today.
U.S. and Israel are directly involved in Iraq's unrest. Everybody knows Al-Qaeda is a terrorist organization directed by the Zionists. The United States and the master, the Zionists, want to create fighting among Muslims. Unfortunately, Muslims have become part of the devilish plan. The question is, why should Muslims be divided and allow the West to be always involved in all the conflicts in the region? Maybe the conflicts are created by Western powers in order to divide and rule the Muslim world. Saudi Arabia and Israel are the two entities responsible for all the tragedies in the Middle East. They both are allies of the US and both are killing innocent Muslims, either by occupation or military force or by terrorism. They are two sides of the coin.
Well, what about that, Mr. Millett? Some of our comments basically are saying that a lot of this is from the West trying to use a plot of divide and conquer. How much do you see this actually initiating either outside of the region from the United States or from, as I said, asked before, from Saudi Arabia or, for example, Qatar?
Well, some of your Facebook readers have creative minds to blame this on outside forces, either Israel, America, the West generally, Saudi Arabia. It looks as if they're looking for someone to blame, but this is a centuries-old divide in the Muslim world between the Shia and the Sunni, who have differences, historic ancient differences, that are still ongoing and are still causing certain elements of the divide, the extremist elements, to go to war against each other. And this, and the innocents, the moderates, the normal everyday citizens, civilians, are the ones who are caught in this total war between the extremists, Sunni extremists, and Shia extremists. To blame it on an outside force is a shame. The Islamic world, or the leaders of the Islamic world, have got to realize that what is going on is an ancient historic argument between both sects of the religion. You can't blame this on America, you can't blame this on Israel, you can't even blame this on Saudi Arabia. This is, we've seen it, that the attacks, innocent civilians are caught up between what's going on between the extremists, the Sunni and Shia extremists in Lebanon, in Syria, and Saudi Arabia, an oppressive regime as Saudi Arabia is, it doesn't want to get itself caught up in anything that's going to backfire on its own regime.
Okay.
And Iran is doing the same. Iran, an oppressive regime as Iran is, these two countries are fighting out on the battlefields in other countries, and innocent civilians are getting caught in the middle.
All right, what about that, Mr. Al-Nashmi, what our guest in London said, that basically this is a fight that has been going on for many, many years, has historical roots. Is it that the sectarian difference that these people, whether Sunni or Shia, just cannot live on side of each other, cannot be together? Or is it something else that is causing what we're seeing, not only in Iraq, but in many other countries in the region?
Madam, I am a professor in the history. I am teaching the history. That's a struggle between the sects and Muslim. It's not public struggle. This is politic sect. He said, your guest, my colleague, said he's talking about the extremists. He said extremists, that means radicals. That radicals, it's just minority, just kind of people that they have economic and politic goal, and they will take the wing sectarian and flying to fight. This is not the differentiation. It's very normal. say the differentiation between my nation, it's mercy for the others. In order that I said there's violence between the sects in the historic Islamic, all the struggle between politics, sometimes the ruler, a sect against the resistance, and the resistance they take in another. This is not public struggle, and he said that struggle they will go on and continue to many years. The answer is not, because we lived, it's 1,400 years without fighting, public fighting. There is nothing happened in the history and in the future.
All
the
right.
Fighting is politic. The All fighting right. is economic. Al-Qaeda, that I want to say.
Thank you so much for being with us, both of our guests, Mr. Ali Al-Nashmi, political commentator out of Baghdad, and Mr. Richard Miller, journalist and political commentator out of London. And thank you, viewers, for being with us. Make sure you join us right here, same time, same place tomorrow. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Thank you, and goodbye.